Fire Beer Mug.
That's an excellent idea, first of all. Second of all, Kobe Bryant apparently is out for, what are they saying, 6 to 9 months?
That's all.
What they're saying, with a ruptured Achilles tendon?
That's all.
We'll talk to Andrew Siciliano about that coming up, plus also the controversy at the Masters where Tiger Woods is a big fat cheater. That's on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, this is bizarre. The Scottish government, Kevin, is trying to urge older folks to get cancer testing for bowel cancer.
Okay.
And apparently the way they do that, and please forgive me for people who may be eating while listening to the program, is they have something called a fecal examination. So what they do is they test your poo, basically, is what they do. So they're trying to get this message out to the older folks, and they figured the way to do it is with a catchy little jingle. And they have written and recorded and released a song, a public service announcement, to urge people to go to the doctor to get their poo tested.
Why doesn't our government do something that funny?
And you've never heard anything like this. I present to you, ladies and gentlemen, the best song you've ever heard about poo.
Older folk in your family need to watch their bowels. Cancer can be sneaky, like a ninja on the prowl. So listen to the song and get it in their head to make sure they don't end up dead. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your second Uncle Vlad. There's no need to be sad. It might not be so bad when they're next on the loo. Tell them what to do. Spin yourself around and test your latest poo. Test your poo, test your poo, test your poo, test your poo. Spin yourself around and test your latest poo.
Come on. That is not from the Scottish government.
It is.
It's great.
Is it awesome or is it awesome? Those are your only two choices. Well, we wanted to find out more about this fantastic campaign, and we asked producer Dave to line us up somewhat, and I believe we have the man who sang the Scottish poo song, Duncan McTavish, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. McTavish, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It's a pleasure to be here.
What a great song you've done.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it, and it's, of course, for a good cause.
It is indeed. Now, did you have any kind of, I don't know what your background is, sir, but did you have any kind of reservations when you were told this is the material that you'd be singing?
No, I thought it was a great opportunity to do something that's good for the public,
mm-hmm.
as well as a fun song for people to listen to.
Sure,
that is.
It's called The Poo Song, and it is so catchy that I can honestly see people enjoying it and talking about it and spreading the word, and that's the whole idea.
Well, absolutely. We're trying to stamp out cancer in Scotland, well, everywhere, really. That's what we're about.
Sure.
So it's, that's the type of songs that I write tend to be silly, funny little numbers. And so to be able to take one and use it for such a worthy cause, I was glad to be commissioned by the government to do so.
You get a lot of good feedback from your poo song.
Yeah, people seem to be loving it. They're really enjoying it. A lot of people like yourselves are playing it, and I'm all for it. You know, I'm glad they made it widely available.
It's firing.
People can, be aware it's important to have your poo tested.
It's my ringtone. All I'm telling you.
All right, then.
Well, Mr. McTavish, you mentioned the songs that you've written. This is not your only number?
I've done lots of funny little ditties for all kinds of occasions and for things, but now the Scottish government is having such success with this, the public service message that you mentioned.
Right.
They've come back to me, and they've asked me to do more songs for more types of cancer detection.
Oh, congratulations. Oh. That's
What are they like?
Well, the poo song was so popular that they came to me and they said, other kinds of cancers are also threatening Scots throughout the country. We'd love people to get checkup. Can you do something for other forms of cancer? And I said, of course. So we've got three new ones that we're going to be debuting over the next couple of weeks. If you like, I can play a wee bit of some of them for you right now.
Sure, please.
We'd love it. Thank you.
The poo song, of course, so successful. My immediate follow-up will be the nut song. This is for people to make sure they check themselves for testicular cancer, especially gentlemen of a certain age.
Okay.
You need to, it's very, very simple to check yourself for testicular cancer. You just simply roll around whatever your nuts there in your hand, see if you can find any pea-sized growth of tumors before you go to the doctor to get checked out.
All right.
Here's a song I call the Nut Song.
Roll your nuts, don't be such a putz. Who wants cancer on their bowels? Grab your sack and roll your nuts.
Wow, that's pretty direct.
Next time you're in the showers, grab down there and roll your nuts.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's good advice. Sure. Why not?
And it's not, cancer is, of course, not limited to the lads out there. The lasses also have their own cancers to worry about, like breast cancer, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in order to get women to examine themselves for a breast cancer, we've got the boob song.
The boob song.
Squeeze your boobs. You don't need creams or lubes. I will help you if you need it. Drop your top and squeeze your boobs.
Wait a minute.
If the lasses need some help in looking for lumps or whatever in their boobies, I'm glad to help them out.
Well, you're a giver.
You'll make yourself available to any lady that needs a breast exam. That's very nice of you, sir.
Absolutely. And, of course, another danger for the gentleman is prostate cancer,
Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, one of the easier ways to check for prostate cancer is at the doctor's office when he gives you an examination.
Right.
Sometimes they'll ask you to bend over.
Yeah.
And, it's got to be done. No one likes it, but
right.
It's got to be done.
Uh-huh.
So what we've done, we've created a little song, I think, that will help help ease the way, so to speak,
okay.
For this examination. It's called the butt song.
The butt song. Of course it is.
Take a finger in your stinker so those cancer cells won't linger. Make your O-ring open up like the mouth of an opera singer. So bend over, say hello. Spread those cheeks there down below. Let the doctor in your sphincter take a finger in your butt.
Well, how they do it almost makes it sound like fun.
It's a good time it is, lads.
Thank you, Duncan.
Actress, comedian, and one of the stars of Archer and podcaster, Aisha Tyler, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on KROQ. Congratulations to Monique Cabrera from Bell Gardens. She just won tickets to Mickey's Halloween party at the Disneyland Resort. We're going to be giving those away all week long here on KROQ. You can go to KROQ.com for more information and another chance to win. Kevin, what kind of beef are you in now?
A granny beef.
Why are you fighting granny?
I'm going to beef for the granny.
Why are you fighting an old lady?
Did she,
it's a long story. Did she cut your tree? Did she put up a fence between your property? What happened?
It's a long story. I had to change my cell phone number because the wrong people got my cell phone number. Okay? So
okay.
I change it. Now I have a new one. Everything's good. What I don't realize is the number that I have now, the new one, it used to be the phone number of a girl named Mandy. And okay. Mandy was the most popular person on the planet.
So your phone is ringing all the time with people who are trying to get a hold of Mandy?
Mostly texting. Mandy, okay. Where are you? I haven't heard from you for a while. And I would text back, wrong number. And then, hey, Mandy, we're in New York. Where are you? Wrong number. Hey, Mandy, we're having a party at Trey Song's house up in the hills. Where are you?
Wow.
So then, like, at that point, I started to get annoyed, but then I started to go, I could probably have some fun with this.
Yeah.
So I would say, I would text back, tried to get in, but they wouldn't let me at the door, or something, anything like that.
So now you're pretending
to
be Mandy?
Yeah, because it was annoying for a while, and then I thought, why don't I have a little bit of fun with this?
All right, hold on. Before we get into how now you're impersonating Mandy,
right.
Because I think that's the right call,
right.
I think it's very funny.
Okay.
My question to you is, how long has this been going on where you've been getting these calls? Like, how long after you got the number were people still texting for Mandy? Are they still now?
They still are now.
Is it months?
Yeah,
is it months later?
No. It's been about 3 weeks.
Okay.
But nonstop.
Okay, but
I would say, without exaggerating, I would say 7 to 10 times a day.
Oh,
wow.
Right? This is the most popular person in the world.
You should be hanging with Mandy, by the way. Sounds like
I wish
got a better
I could get
life.
A hold of her.
But you don't know her number.
You don't know the half of she has a better life than I do. There's I would get a text that would say, hey, Mandy, we're going to Ibiza. You want to join us? And I would think to myself, why can't I be Mandy? I'm going to Ibiza.
Here's what I don't get.
Paris. How long till you get here?
Wow. That's pretty sweet.
Not telling everyone that you changed her number?
I don't know.
Because I would think, and I understand that you got her number and that makes sense and it happens to everybody when they get a new number, but I would think that you would be one by one stomping all those people
right.
out
I was.
By writing them back and saying wrong number and that person wouldn't text anymore. So how can there be that many different people weeks later who are still texting Mandy?
There are because late in the first week of this, I started blocking the numbers. You can literally, if a number comes up, you can block it so that they no longer.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a little, like, information, maybe an exclamation mark or something.
You better hope that Mandy and you don't share any friends, because you're going to find out they can't contact you.
At that point, I was blocking people right, left and right. I was just like, look, because they would retext. They would just, I guess I was in their in their Rolodex or whatever, right. in their contact list, and they would just text, and it would be some people that I'd told before. So I'd say, still the wrong number. And then, once it was twice or three times, then I would start blocking.
Okay.
By last week, I had probably blocked. Oh, at first, I got to being mean. I thought if I was mean, now maybe that's my answer. So somebody would text her, and I would go, if you were really Mandy's friend, she would have given you her new number. Right? Like trying to be funny.
Right.
But they would write back, ha ha.
So they would think that you were still Mandy and
yes!
still playing.
What am I supposed to do?
That's tough. Mandy's a card.
What a bitch.
That is tough.
And she's got such a great life. She does nothing but jet set around the world, and she knows more people than exist.
Wow.
So who's Granny? Why are you fighting with an old lady over Mandy?
Last week, while I was on vacation, I got some very surly texts. The first one was, hey, how are you? It's been a while. And I type back, as I do to everybody, wrong number. She texted back, Mandy, why are you saying that? How are you? So I wrote
what
back.
What part of wrong number right. don't you understand,
so
Grandma?
I wrote back this, and for me, I like to screw around with people, but yeah. It has to come from a good place. I have to be having fun, or it's not fun. This quickly turned not fun, Granny Beef. So she texts back, who is this, and why don't you give the phone to Mandy? As if now I'm with Mandy, and I'm just playing a right. joke on her. So I wrote back to her, listen. Here's the phone number. I know it used to be Mandy's. It's not anymore. She is much details. I
right. She changed her number.
She gave up this phone number.
Yeah.
Changed it to another phone number where she can be reached. But this is no longer her number.
Sounds very helpful, very reasonable, and it sounds like you explained it in a way that even an old person should grasp the concept.
Although I didn't know who I was dealing with
right.
yet. Immediately, the phone rings.
Okay.
So I pick it up. What's wrong with you? Give Mandy the phone. She goes,
what?
Now she's calling.
Now you're on the phone with Mandy's grandma?
Yeah, but she sounds old, but she doesn't sound grandma. She sounds like maybe aunt, mom's friend.
Right.
She sounds okay. maybe like she's in her 50s, maybe,
okay.
you know.
Okay.
So I say to her, look, I tried to explain this to you in the text, but this is my phone number now, and it's no longer a way to get a hold of Mandy.
Maybe, and I don't know Mandy, and she's not here, and I'm a dead end. Sorry.
Right. So I hung up, and the phone rang back immediately.
Oh, my God.
And this is what happened. You son of a bitch.
What?
You mother effer. You
are
stop
you kidding?
Playing effing games with me and effing give Mandy the effing phone.
Whoa.
She says that and hangs up.
Oh, my God.
So is it on?
Now it's on. So I call her back.
Yes.
And now still I don't know it's her grandma.
Yeah.
I call her back, and I go, maybe Mandy changed her number and didn't give you her new one because you're such a goddamn bitch. At which she said, you mother effer. She started screaming, you mother effer. Give her the phone. I don't like these games.
Oh,
now she's screaming. And now it's not quite as much fun because... I don't know. I mean, it's fun to mess with people, but
she's losing her mind.
So then I say, "Look, I'm not going to call her back. I'm literally going to have to change my number again. But I'm going to text her so that we don't get any more of a fight." So I texted her, "Look, didn't mean to yell at you. Sorry about that. One of your other friends maybe asked them what Mandy's number is, and then she called back on the phone and said, "I'm not her friend. I'm her grandmother."
Oh, man.
Oh.
Kevin.
Don't say Kevin.
But
Granny
didn't you
bee.
Feel like
Granny came at me.
Giant dick.
Granny came at me.
Poor Granny.
What are you going to do if Granny comes at you, Lisa?
I don't know. Poor Granny. Maybe she's not all
F
there.
F Granny. F her. Oh, she was all there. She was knew exactly what she was saying. What a bitch.
Foul-mouthed Granny.
Oh. So I blocked her. No, I have to get a new number.
You have to get another new number.
You should meet Granny and you should wreck her. That's what you should do.
I'll give that some serious thought. Congratulations to James Sach from La Mirada. Just got tickets for, for tickets to go see Coachella and to pick one band that's playing Coachella and see them anywhere they're playing in the world in the next year.
That is a pretty sweet prize, by the way. How often do you get to pick the country that you want to go to?
Not often, Bean.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing. I love this one. I love it. And you have another chance to qualify at noon, and then at 3, and then at 6, and then at 9 o'clock again tonight. You pick the band, you pick the city. Details at KREC.com. Michelle Trachtenberg on the line. She's going to be appearing on Sleepy Hollow Monday night at 9 on Fox. She was just telling Dave off the air. Do I have this right, Michelle? Has it really been 10 years since we've talked to you on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I think so. I think I must have done something terribly wrong, and it's taken me 10 years to make up for it.
I can't imagine how time flies that fast, but it's great to have you back on. And I see from IMDb that you have just been busy being on every TV show that's on the air since we last talked to you.
Oh, yes. Well, that's on my goal, my to-do list, just crossing them all off. Next is Scandal, and then
sure.
anything that my mom watches, I'm going to have to be on.
This Sleepy Hollow, I don't think is for me, but am I right that it's about Ichabod Crane and it's set in colonial America and it involves like all sorts of crazy historical and fantasy guest stars, right?
Yes, all of the above, except it's actually set in modern times and he's been brought out from the colonial time into this film.
I got you. So you play Abigail Adams on the show, who, Kevin, you're going to be amazed when I tell you this, was a real person. Abigail Adams was the first second lady and the second first lady of the United States.
That's confusing.
Well, she was the...
impressive. I barely get that. I'm like, first, she was important.
Well,
okay?
I think I have it right. I think John Adams, her husband, was George Washington's vice president, so she was the first second lady. And then when he became president, she became the second first lady. I think that's right.
Yeah.
So will we see her back in colonial times, or is she also brought into modern day?
She is in colonial times. And I get to wear all the fabulous gowns and corsets and, you know, dislocate a rib. Totally a good time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Are you playing young, hot Abigail Adams or old and busted after six kids Abigail Adams?
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you calling me old and busted?
No. I don't know how they, you know, made you up with makeup and, you know, prosthetics and outfit, you know, the clothing and everything else.
No prosthetics, just this little face. But my breastises were definitely up to high heaven, so in that corset. But I do think it was young and hot, or I'd like to think so.
That's fantastic.
Now, when
okay.
you go and you go on a show like Sleepy Hollow, how much research do you have to do? Do you have to watch this? You know, it's been on. This is the second season, right?
Yeah. And well, I had a very close friend of mine is the executive producer. His wife is one of my closest friends, Len Weissman, and I originally had watched the show. For him, and then I live alone, so I couldn't continue to watch the show because there are too many gowls and ghosts and things that go
right
the night, and I have an overactive imagination. So I haven't seen the show since then, and then I tuned back in. I had to do a lot of actual historical research because I wanted to get her voice right, and there are a lot of her old letters that she used to write to John Adams available where you can sort of get her jam going.
Did you see the John Adams miniseries that they did about the Adams family?
Not even a little.
Oh, it was so good. Laura Linney played Abigail Adams in that, and she was great.
Did she have her jam going?
She didn't have her jam going. She didn't have her jam going.
Didn't play it in Sleepy Hollow, I'm just saying.
Sleepy Hollow airs Monday night on Fox. Michelle, I noticed from your Twitter, you seem to be, speaking of fantasy, you seem to be all about the Disney and all about the Harry Potter. Is that accurate?
That's totally accurate. I am just shy of my 30th birthday, and it's in a few months, and I feel like I need to embrace the child that was, and I love Disneyland.
What do you think it is about all that stuff that still gets you so excited now?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's that I want to believe that magical realism exists and that I could just whip out a wand and turn, you know, a nemesis into a frog. That, that seems like a delightful way to spend, you know, a Friday.
It doesn't seem like you really believe that, though. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to face up to the fact that it's fantasy.
Are you also trying to tell me that
there's no Santa Claus?
Yeah, don't shatter her illusions. Let her enjoy her life. I wondered when I saw that, though, I wondered if that's what attracted you to acting, is you just enjoy playing other people in fantasy and just your imagination cannot be contained.
Now you're just making me sound like a fetishist.
you're doing a Twitter chat today.
I am, for Zimbio. Where people will ask me questions, hopefully, that aren't that creepy.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. When you open yourself up to the public for questions, that has to concern you, right?
It's definitely a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. But, I mean, it's great because you get to, like, the really cool fans are like, oh, bringing up great projects or whatnot. I do have to request that they all not all of them, but I do have a massive pet peeve because I have been acting for so long and people still, you know, lead with, she's all grown up. It's like the jig is up, boo.
Yeah. it is interesting, though, to see how many fans you have that are seriously still invested in you all over the world. I mean, I'm looking on the questions now. They're from France and then Peru. I mean, they're everywhere all over the world, which is one of the awesome things about the internet, I guess. Here's a question for you. I want you to cheat and give us the answer on this one first so that before you have to answer it online. Serious question. This is from Tess Welburn. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you admire unicorns?
Oh, that's like a billion.
How did you not know that?
You guys can't see unicorns because only virgins can see unicorns. I mean, don't you know anything about the folklore?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we have lost Michelle.
Michelle's gone bye-bye.
I sound like a delusional actress that sees butterflies everywhere.
What is your next dream acting gig? You've been on so many different TV shows, you know, Gossip Girl, obviously, Criminal Minds, Robot Chicken, Weeds. You've been on so many, NCIS. What's the show you'd love most to be on but they haven't asked yet, Michelle?
Oh, that's a tough one. I usually do get to bully my way into a lot of shows. I mean, with Criminal Minds, they had wanted me to do an episode for years, and my big role was I had to play the killer, which I did. Playing the serial killer. That's exciting. I've always loved eras, though. Like, I want to, you know, do something from the 20s and then the 40s and 50s. I just don't want to do apparently anything where a cell phone is involved.
Yeah. So we have to get you on, like, Downton Abbey or something, then.
Oh, God, it's that. Yes, I'm going to put on my accent now, and then I can totally bone Downton Abbey.
Boom! Casting directors, get on it.
Get on it, yeah.
You can follow her on Twitter at RealMichelleT, and Sleepy Hollow airs Monday nights at 9 on Fox. And be sure to look for Michelle Trachtenberg. She's going to be playing Abigail Adams in a guest appearance. And this is a one episode only, right?
Quite possibly. Gotcha. I'm never allowed to say that, but I think if people enjoy the episode, you never know. Abigail Adams had a whole lot of, lives and stories to tell.
See? We'll talk to you in 2025.
Oh, okay, great, yes. And then you could look at the pictures on my Instagram, which is just at Michelle Trachtenberg. Do you like what I did there? Do you like how I just...
That was sweet.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Thanks, Michelle. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
Still thinking about that Avicii show Saturday night, headline of the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
It was tremendous,
wasn't it?
I thought so, too.
And you never know what's going to come next. I mean, you know, one minute he's playing, Wake Me Up or something. We've heard a million times of Kerry. The next minute he's playing a sped up Who record. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like anything is part of the mix. He's just so good at putting it all together and making it a show. You know?
Can I tell you a quick backstory before?
Sure.
Before we go into our phone topic?
He was phenomenal, wasn't he?
He really was. But it was funny to be in the crowd and watch people's reaction to him because people that were not familiar with him that are younger were like, what the F is going on? And he does not shy away from that. But I wanted to tell this quick story because they put up a photo of me talking to Beck. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Bean, we had gone out. You, of course, were asleep for 4 hours by that point.
How dare you?
We went out and we introduced Beck. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming.
I was watching.
Okay, so here's Beck. So then we walk off stage, and Beck is standing there, and he says, hey. And I said, hey, Beck. And he said, we haven't done this in a long time. And I said, yeah, I know. And he said, it's been at least 20 years. And I said, yeah. And he said, the last time, if I recall correctly, it was Ed McMahon was there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yes, and he was meeting – who was it, being the leader of Black Lives?
Henry Rollins.
I said, yeah, Henry Rollins was there. And he's like, yeah, that was so weird because I remember when they met.
Now, wait, hold on. You're having this conversation like on the side of the stage after you've already introduced Beck and the audience is waiting for Beck to walk out?
Yes.
And he's hurry whatsoever to like get out there and start doing the show?
So that thought came to my mind and I was like, you know, it's great catching up and all, but maybe you should go out on stage because everybody's waiting for you. And he's like, oh, okay. And he walked out on stage. It was so bizarre.
It was, and then, of course, he brought up.
I forgot one more thing. One more thing was I said, when I first interviewed you, it was my first solo interview, and I had no idea what you were talking about. None whatsoever. And he said, that's funny because it would have been 1992, and I would have just been making crap up.
Right. Really?
Yeah. Totally.
Now you feel better?
Yeah. All this time, I thought I was a disaster. I am, but not because of that.
I kept thinking as I was watching him, and he was so great. And he brought up the 94 Weenie Roast that he played at also, but from the stage. And I kept thinking, remember how young and scared he was back then? Remember just how out of place he was? I mean, he did not want to be performing in front of huge crowds back then. That was not what his thing was about at all.
I guess not, but man, he's got balls.
He has just turned into such the consummate entertainer, though. I mean, he's just so great on stage. And he did a little Billie Jean, which was fun.
That was weird and fun.
No, it was a lot of fun, and you could see photos and interviews and you know, all sorts of backstage stuff and write-ups and everything of the K-Rock Weenie Roast at K-Rock.com, and you should because it was a really, really, really special day. All right, new topic. Kevin, what made you bring this up last week when you came in?
I have friends, and they're a couple, and one of them was moving into the other one's apartment.
Okay.
And so they said, this is your closet, and they were cleaning it out and stuff, and there was a box in there, and so the question came up, what's this? And the answer was...
Wait, did someone say, what's in the box?
No. Well, sort of. Yeah, sort of. Like, what is this? The other one said, oh, that's my dead pet. That's my dead dog.
Okay.
Okay, so to me, that's weird.
Ashes.
Weird that they had the dog's ashes or weird that it was in the closet?
Just that it was in the closet. It was 7 or 8 years later. You know what I mean? Like...
Well, you don't just throw it out.
Yes,
I mean,
you do. I love pets. I have dogs. I've always had dogs. When they die, I don't keep the ashes. So I came in the next day and I said to Bean, listen to this. This is crazy. And they still had, and the dog was, and Bean said, yeah, I have the ashes of a lot of my pets.
I think a lot of people, I don't know what the percentage, I'd love to know from a vet what percentage of people who lose a pet at the vet decide to cremate it and have a memento, and what percent just say, you go ahead and dispose of the body. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's at least 50-50. Would you, Lisa?
I was shocked. So clearly I didn't think it was 50-50.
No, I do know a lot of people that do that. But then, I don't know, wouldn't you assume they'd bury the ashes or do something
with
them?
Well, that's what I would
generally
think.
Is there...
Like, I don't know that you just put it in your closet?
I've never
You done never this. Have?
No, I haven't. Because I would need a end plan for those.
And yeah, there's no end plan. There's just keep it in the closet.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, I don't think we've ever discussed this, but it'd be interesting to hear from our listeners what their take on this is, if they think it's weird to get ashes of your pets. And if you're a person who has ashes for your pets, what do you do with them? Do you put them on a mantle or over the fireplace if you have one, or do you put it on a bookshelf, or do you like Kevin's friend and just stuff in the closet somewhere and never think about it?
So yeah, I didn't think getting them was so weird, but I just wouldn't know what to do with them then.
But I don't know that I've ever heard of anyone taking a pet's ashes and spreading it in the Columbia River or something like you would do, or in the ocean, or you know, whatever, like you would do with a human. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing that with a pet's ashes.
I bet people do.
I don't know.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if your dog loved the beach or whatever, you know, you'd think you'd do something with the, if you're going to keep the ashes, do you keep them in a box in a closet? Just an unmarked box.
I only do that with people.
An unmarked box. That's just weird, right?
I think what happened in that situation is probably that when the pet died, it was a number of years ago, when the pet died, they probably put it in a place where they could see it. And it, you know, kind of eased them into the loss, into the period of not having that dog. And then as more and more time went on and they got over it a little bit more, they didn't feel the need to have it displayed quite so prominently. So they just put it, you know, they weren't going to throw it away. So they just put it someplace kind of out of the way, but they still had their pet nearby, is my guess.
It's in a closet.
I've got Chin Ho and I've got Santa's Little Helper, and I've got Atomic.
Those are beans.
And I've got Yum Yum. All those are dogs. I've got all. Dogs. I've got four dogs. Ashes.
Yeah. So you keep all four of them.
I do.
Right, you're a nut loaf.
they're on a bookshelf. It's nice to have. It's nice to always remember. And I also have them. I also have their collars around each urn. The collars that they wore when they were alive.
What an effing bummer your house would be. what a bummer. That's one of our four. Here's another one. Here's another one.
I have pictures. I have, like, painted portraits.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Well, you gave me a gift certificate for one of them.
Yeah, because you're a crazy cat
and
lady.
And I loved it so much.
All right.
I have an oil painting of one of my dead cows.
All right. I'm surrounded by crazy people. All right. When I'm not the crazy person, there's something wrong.
Let's go to Cindy. She is on line six. She might be able to answer our question about how common it is for people to request pet ashes.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi.
Do you have your pets?
I do have my pets, yes.
Mm-hmm. All of them?
Okay.
Probably not all of them, no.
Were they cats?
No.
Okay.
I have one cat. I have lots of dogs. But I work at a Warner Center Pet Clinic in Woodland Hills.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I would say probably 70% of the people get
really?
Their dog ashes returned. Yes.
70%?
But, I mean, it's a, you know, wealthy area, to say the least. So
What's it cost to get a dog cremated and given back to you in a box?
If it's a Labrador, probably $200.
Wow, that is a lot. Wow. And do you have any idea what most people do with the ashes? Are they on display, or do they throw them into the wind somewhere, have a ceremony, or bury them, or something like that?
You get a choice. Personally, we sprinkled some of ours at the lake where we used to go camping and stuff like that. But they have, like, rocks you can put in the garden that have a little name tag. They have different boxes. They have photo frames with the box. They have multiple ideas of
ways. How about just a box with no wording on it in a closet?
A box with no wording in it. Well, you don't pay any extra for that box usually.
Okay.
Huh.
So it's an industry, right?
Definitely.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening and thanks for calling.
You can also get your dog made into a diamond too, but that's much more expensive.
Made into a diamond.
I don't know what that means.
All right, good.
Can I get my dog to come back to life? How much do I have to pay to have that happen, to not have my dog die?
Well, they have tried the cloning stuff. I haven't seen anyone successfully do that.
Well, let us know if they do.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you for the call, Cindy. All right, well, all the lines are
70%.
I'm not surprised by that.
I
thought it would at least be 50-50, but
Didn't know all of you were crazy.
People like having their pets nearby.
Right, but that's not your pet.
Well, they like the memory of their pet. Look, Kevin, especially, and let's remember, you're making that decision within an hour of when your pet dies, when it hurts the most.
Right.
That's when you're likely to say, I'm not ready to say goodbye to Fluffy.
Right. I had a dog that died, and I was heartbroken. Never occurred to me to ask for the ashes. It was really took me a long time to get over.
Yeah.
But the ashes aren't the dog.
Right. I understand.
So I'm not crazy.
But you hate Jesus then or something or America or somebody.
I'm not positive that's what it means.
All right. The phones are filled. We'll see what you have to say. A lot of our listeners have creative things that they're doing with their ashes. And by the way, Ralph hasn't even come in and yelled at me and Lisa yet. So there's a lot still to come here on K-Rock. Monday, of course, means dead pet talk on the Kevin and Bean Show like it does every week. We just had a listener on who works at a veterinarian's office in the Valley who says that it can cost up to $200 to have your dog, if it's a large enough dog, cremated.
And get the ashes back.
Yeah, and get the ashes back, right. We're talking to Kevin was surprised. So she told us 70% of people who at least are in their clinic make that decision to get the ashes back.
And Kevin, I would have bet 10%.
Yeah.
Like, I was way off on that one.
So we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067 on what your pet ash policy is, especially if you're doing something different. Got a couple of responses at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. Nicole writes in, I have the ashes of my duck on my mantle.
All right. Why not?
And I mean, I guess
it's the same as a pet.
A pet is a pet, right? Backkiller writes in, we cremated my wife's horse. It cost $1,600. It now lives on the coffee table.
Oh, my God.
Wow, can you imagine what the ashes, how many ashes there must be like for a horse? And finally, talking about how much it costs to get your dog back, comedian Rob Delaney tweets at Kevin and Bean, I'll cremate a dog for $15. So, as usual, Rob gets the best, last, and funniest word. All right, we have time for just a couple of calls here. Kevin, who do you like?
Boy, I don't even know where to start.
Let's start with Dawn. Let's start with Dawn, who has more than just ashes from a pet.
Oh, not stuff. Dawn?
Yes.
Dawn.
Yeah. What are you doing?
What have you done?
What have you done?
Oh, nothing. It's like a Native American thing.
What do you have? You have your cat's ashes and what else?
I have his skull.
You have your cat's skull is what it sounded like you said on the phone. What did you really say?
I said skull.
Okay.
I actually had his whole head in the freezer for about 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Thanks for bringing Lisa and Bean to my side. Who knew one person could do that?
All right, Jeffrey Dahmer. What's going on?
What
is going on with you? Wait, so your cat died. I guess I should start by asking, did your cat die of natural causes at least?
Yeah, I had pancreatic carcinoma.
All right, so you did not kill your cat, because that sounds like you're the kind of person who... Okay, and then what did you do? Chop off his head and put it in the freezer?
Well, they did. They asked me what I wanted from him, and I said, what? And they said, well, people get parts of their animals, and I said, oh.
Get parts?
Can I have his head?
That's not a thing.
Yeah, and you said, can I have his head? That was how the thought process went.
Yes, well, they blinked at me at first, and I said, well, you know.
How do they give you his head? I mean, without getting too graphic here, I mean, they chop his head off. I mean, how does it not, like, leak and whatnot?
I don't know. They froze him and then chopped off the head and then wrapped it up and kept it in ice and all that. It was really neat.
You're awesome. You said this is a Native American thing?
Yes. They used to actually extract the bones and display them for spiritual reasons.
But are you Native American?
There's a little bit in me.
So
no.
I watch the Redskins. So Dawn. So Dawn, sweetheart, darling. Yes. So your cat's head's in the freezer, and then how did it end up becoming a skull? Was there a power outage or something, and one day you just had no choice but you had to unthaw him?
No, I had to wait until I could emotionally handle actually extracting the skull from the
You
the
did
flesh.
That yourself?
You did it yourself.
I did. Yes.
So you, in other words, you cut off the skin and everything that was left of your cat's head and just kept the skull.
No, there's a process that you do, so it's really simple. You know, you boil it.
This is unbelievable.
It sounds horrible. It does. When I speak Dawn. About it, it sounds horrible. But
yeah, of course it sounds horrible. You have your dead cat's skull in your house.
At some point, someone called you on the phone. You said, I can't talk now. Boiling my cat's head on the stove.
Yeah, I had to wait for my daughter and my husband to leave the house.
You had a husband? Had a daughter? You're a mom?
Yes, I'm a mom.
Dawn!
I collect other bones, too. But that's my prize.
Your husband is afraid to die now. You know that.
He should be. He's afraid to come home every night, too.
Oh, my God.
We have plans, but they're not legal, so I can't do anything about it.
Okay, and on that note, ladies and gentlemen, there's Kevin Mean Lister Dawn, adding so much to our day.
Oh, you're the only one.
You're the only one.
We have a lot of other calls where they sprinkled their ashes, they saved their ashes, they have an urn, they put it up on the shelf, but no one keeps the skull. Zero people. I'm sorry, one.
Okay.
You're crazy, Dawn.
We love you. Thanks for calling. Ralph Garman did a story on the Showbiz Beat a couple of days ago that I have many questions about. And I'm going to start with this question for you, Kevin. It involves Justin Bieber.
Yep.
But don't turn off your radio yet because it's funny. He's 20 years old.
Right.
Should he know who Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is if he encounters him on vacation? Or should he not recognize him because the Rolling Stones would be so far off somebody like Bieber's radar? Because, you know, Justin Bieber grew up in a time where, you know, all he listens to is R&B and hip-hop. Why would he know the Rolling Stones from, you know, essentially the 60s and 70s?
I don't think he should, but I think in most cases he probably would, just because Keith Richards is such a famous musician. And he's
20,
in the
though.
Music
Bieber
business.
Is 20.
Oh, I know.
Well, the story, as Ralph reported it, is that they found themselves at the same bar at the Parrot K Island in Turks and Caicos. And the story says there was an old guy throwing back drinks who looked at Justin Bieber and said, "Who the F are you?" one source recalls. In response, Justin Bieber shot back, "I don't know. Who the F are you?"
Yeah!
Which is a little bit mouthy when you're talking about one of the freaking Rolling Stones in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a band that has been successful for, I don't know, about three times as long as Justin Bieber has been alive.
So let's not leave it to the reports. Let's go all straight right. to the horse's mouth and get Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones on the phone, because maybe he can perhaps bring us up to speed on what actually happened there on vacation. Hey, Keith, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you? Good. Well, it's great to talk to you. Does any of this that we've just been saying about Justin Bieber sound familiar?
Did he come up and say hi to you?
No, he just walked in the bar.
He just walked in the bar. I heard that.
And I'm just saying, who the F are you?
Okay, so you said, who the F are you? And then he turned back and said the same thing back to you. Now, that does not sound like an auspicious start to a friendship.
No, it's not a really particularly good comeback either.
No.
So you're 71 years old. I guess I'll ask the same question in reverse that we were talking about the Biebs recognizing you. Did you know who he was?
No, I've got polyps in my colon older than him.
I think you probably don't know who most people are at this point.
I know a lot of people. I just baby.
Yeah, well, you're not missing anything, but you are 71 years old. There's no reason for you to hang out with Justin Bieber, and I'm concerned that this report makes it sound like once individual people said, oh, no, that's who that person is, then you guys actually had a conversation and maybe even left as friends.
No, we didn't have a drink. We had a drink.
Had a drink.
A drink, okay.
And, let's get one thing straight.
Yes.
You're a wannabe.
Yeah, you said, let's get one thing straight. You're a wannabe.
Yeah. Okay. He cried like a bitch.
He cried like a bitch. Okay. That part was missing from the story.
Cried like a bitch. And then he went in the men's room with a guy.
What? What? Now, what did he just say?
He went to the men's room with a guy?
Yeah, a couple of guys.
Now, are you sure about that?
I heard a seal performing.
Well, now it sounds like you're just making stuff up to start rumors.
I can only make stuff up.
Keith, how are you still alive? Seriously, how are you still alive?
I'm not sure I am.
That's a delightful guitar solo. I hope someone's alarm clock went off right in the last 30 seconds of that. I mean, seriously, that'll get the job done. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. Our first Bachelor Report for 2015 in 1 hour with our friend Petros Papadakis. First, though, I would love to talk to somebody who knows about how mass emails work, Kevin, because I heard one time that if you click unsubscribe to get off of somebody's mailing list, all that does is tell them that it's a working email address and that they should keep sending it to you.
Yeah, I think it's a scam, too.
I honestly don't know.
I've done it and gotten unsubscribed before.
And they stop sending you email? Really?
It has worked. I guess it depends on the company.
It depends on the company, right. It depends on how it's set up. But there's an awful lot about this unsubscribe that I don't know. Like, for instance, why does it take 7 to 10 days to remove your name from a list? It doesn't make any sense to me that would be the case.
To find the unsubscribe, it's in the smallest font possible.
Yes. Like, yes.
So you can't find it without a magnifying glass.
Yeah, you got to look through 40 pages of legal mumbo jumbo to find the tiny little button that you could press for unsubscribe. But the reason we bring all this up is because just like a few years ago when Kevin could not turn on his computer without getting emails a blast from Matas Yahoo, now you've got another enemy, right?
Yeah, it's a Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop. I bought something for Ralph for Christmas and don't remember signing up to be on their email list.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even remember putting my email in, but clearly I did. And they started sending me, I don't know, 3 or 4 a day.
That's a lot,
by the
way.
From the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop. Now, it was really a one-time deal. I just bought Ralph a gift, just a present one time. Doesn't make me a fan.
Which, by the way, has to be very common
right.
this time of year. A lot of people would be buying an item for somebody else, and it doesn't mean they want to be subscribed.
I got like 4 days of it, and I was like, okay, find the unsubscribe, send back, and then get off the list. Didn't do a thing. Not a thing.
Why do they send 4 a day? They're not getting 4 new products in every day either.
I don't know.
That's
great question.
I don't know, but they do. So then a couple more days went by, and then I went to the unsubscribe thing again. Tried it. Nope. And a third time. Went to unsubscribe. Tried it. Kept getting emails.
And so there's been no difference whatsoever in the number of emails you're getting from the Eagles.
Nope. They sure want me to buy stuff from their pro shop.
Ralph only has one birthday and one Christmas a year, though.
That's it.
Did you notice that in addition to unsubscribing via email, there's a phone number that you can call if you want to get removed from their list?
I did not.
Here's the number. Oh.
Style it up. This is good news.
Well, anything to get him to stop. It's crazy.
Kenny G?
Yo, how you doing? Thanks for calling the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop, your one-stop shop for all your Philadelphia Eagles merchandise needs.
How
if
do
this
I get...
is a new order, press 1 now.
Nope.
If this is about an existing order, press 2 now.
Not really.
If you'd like to subscribe to the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop mailing list, press 3 now.
No, definitely the opposite. Not.
If you'd like to unsubscribe to the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop, press 4 now on your touchtone keypad.
Okay, that sounds easy. See, we got the right number. Right. Got a guy who's going to help us out. It's perfect.
You pressed 1.
No.
Unsubscribe.
I pressed 4.
You pressed 4 to unsubscribe to the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop.
Uh-huh.
What's your freaking problem?
Why
do you want to disconnect from the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop mailing list? It's got full of stuff like Eagles things and everything. It's really good. So I'll give you a chance now to change your mind by pressing 2 on your touchtone keypad. Go ahead, press 2.
I don't want to press 2.
I'm still waiting for you to change your mind. Press 2.
I want to unsubscribe.
To the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop mailing list.
What's the number to unsubscribe?
Still waiting for you to press 2.
I'm not pressing
your mind yet.
This is tough. This is a battle, man.
If you'd like to continue and still unsubscribe to the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop email mailing list, press 1 now.
All right. Here we go. Now we're getting some progress here.
All right.
Boy, they're tough customer.
Seriously, what's your problem? What's wrong with the email list? If you really want to subscribe because you think you're just too good for it, then press 1 now.
No, I'm a fan of another team.
If you're a douchebag and you want to unsubscribe from the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop mailing list, press 2 now.
It doesn't make you a douchebag if you don't want all these unsolicited emails.
If you want to unsubscribe from the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop mailing list just because, press 3 now. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, press 4 now and kill yourself.
I'm not a Cowboys fan. So I'll do...
What was that, 3? That was 3?
Yeah, that was 3.
Boy, they're making us work for this.
You press 3. You want to subscribe from Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop email list.
Yes.
Just because.
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Use your touchtone keypad.
Is this a recording?
Punch in your home address, because I'm going to come to your house and punch you in the face. How about that?
What?
How about I fight you over this? How
I don't
want to
fight. I just want to get off the email list.
That's what I thought. Why don't you just hang up now?
Did I get
I
off
said
the
e- hang up!
Yes, sir.
Should I get off the email list?
I don't think so.
No!
All this week, keep listening to K-Rock to win 2-day VIP passes to Shaun White's Air and Style, which is coming to the Rose Bowl in February, plus a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. This Air and Style, Kevin, sounds like it's all about you.
Does sound cool.
Snowboarding, skiing, skating competitions, 2 stages of music featuring Steve Aoki, Diplo, Edward Sharp, and the Magnetic Zeros, Fantagram, Portugal the Man, so much more. You can get all the details at KROQ.com and your chance to win coming up this half hour on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank God the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland exists, because they're doing very important work, and that is they're getting birds drunk and then they're studying them.
Oh, that seems bad.
Now, I didn't realize until this article came out that scientists do not understand how alcohol affects our speech. I guess we all know that it does affect our speech, but what they're trying to figure out is how does it work? Why does drinking alcohol affect the way you speak after you're drunk?
I'm going to play as much of this scientist as I can.
Yeah, I thought he was dynamic.
And then you tell me when you've heard enough, because it gets old pretty quick. It's NPR.
I will play for you a normal song from a zebrafinch recorded on July 25th at 1:54 in the afternoon. Zebrafinch songs are a series of repeated motifs, with each motif consisting of several syllables. Next, this same bird, recorded at the same time of day, but a few days later, after it had been drinking 6.5% alcohol, its blood ethanol content was 54 milligrams per deciliter.
Sounds the same to me.
Sounds exactly the same to me. Who is this doctor, by the way? And does he have a podcast I can subscribe to?
It's the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland.
All right. Well, let's find out. I guess I'm not smart enough to see the difference between those two, but apparently we do have somebody on the line from the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. Hello there, sir. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, Kevin and Bean here.
Hello. Hi, Kevin and Bean here.
Who is this, please?
I am a finch.
You're one of the finches. You're one of the finches in the study. You're a zebra finch?
I am one of the finches in the study of the Gorgon Research.
Right. Health and Science University.
Health,
right, yeah.
And Science University.
University, right. Sounds like you've been continuing to drink some of that alcoholic juice cocktail since they did the study. What are you laughing about?
Hey, you're right. I have been having some more of the juice cocktail.
Right.
Huh. And it is, I think I will also in the future.
Now, does it seem ethical to you for us to give birds and other animals alcohol?
I don't know Ethel, but I think she would like to have some of this because I enjoy it very much.
Now, the scientists did say they weren't sure that you would drink it on your own, that they might have to try and give it to you, but that you took right to it. It was no...
Well, they did not take right to it. He had to hang out the piñata and put out some hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
And then it was a punch bowl. And then we had the right atmosphere when the party began.
It was a holiday party, as I understand.
It was a holiday party! Yes, that's exactly what it was! Because finches love holidays.
I was not aware of that.
The most festive of birds. A lot of people think it's the partridge because the partridge is in the pantry.
Uh-huh.
But the finches freaking love Christmas and New Year's.
Wow, this is something else.
Wow.
Now, it obviously affects your speech, but does the alcohol affect your ability to fly?
It does. First of all, call me Peter.
Peter Finch?
Yes.
Okay.
I flew back home after the party.
Okay.
And I hit a window.
Right.
That I thought was open, but
right.
It was not open.
Happens all the time.
It was a glass window.
Right. That's sad. That must be upsetting when that happens to you.
But, I thought it was so funny this time. I laughed, and then I had to call Uber.
They have Uber for zebra finches?
Yes, they have bird Uber.
Huh.
Called Boober.
Have another one.
But you have another one. Asshole.
Hey, take it easy.
You take it
easy.
We're
just trying to find out information about the scientific study.
I'll fight you all right now.
First, let's talk about our friend Bob Doe.
It's Bob Toe.
I can't get used to calling him Bob Toe. I know that you have you've settled on that name and you love it, and
well,
you never want to hear him referred to as
Doe. And he loves it.
He's still Doe Toe to me. I saw him at the Halloween party, and he's still just Doe.
Let's say good morning to Bob Doe.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Doe, where are you on the name change? Are you going with Bob, or should we still be calling you Doe?
Well, Bob will be my stage name, Kevin Bean.
Okay, so when you come on K-Rock, for example, you should use your stage name, right?
Yeah, but in real life, my name is Doe.
Well, which would you prefer we call you?
Well, it doesn't matter, Kevin Bean. It's up to you guys.
Okay.
Kevin Bean, I really want
to... How about if we call you Bo?
Yeah, I really want to get in this industry, Kevin Bean.
You want to get in the industry?
No, I really want to make it, Kevin Bean.
Okay, hold on. So we talk to Bob Toe from time to time, and he tells us that he needs a woman, 5758, Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an email from Ninette, and she said that her friend Christy was willing to go on a date with Bob Toe. And they went out on a date, and we were going to kind of set stuff up. We were going to mic it, I think. We had all kinds of different things we were going to do, but they went out kind of on the sly. They've already gone out now.
Yeah, when I talked to Doe last week, he's like, oh, yeah, we went out. We had a great time. I'm like, how could we not have known you guys were going to go out? You weren't supposed to work that out on your own, but we have not heard the update from the girls' point of view. And I guess they both went. It was a group of people went together, Doe. It wasn't just a one-on-one date, right?
How's the wedding in Seattle being? Because I'm going there this weekend.
Doe, just answer the question.
Conversation
what's wrong
at
the
end.
How's the weather in Seattle, he wants to know.
It's clear and... Clear and cold right now.
To be honest with you guys, we did.
You went out on a group. Okay, he's out of delay. Let's talk to the girls and find out from their perspective what it was like.
What the hell is that?
All right, what is this?
Hello?
Hi.
What is that noise?
That's Christy's phone.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, her phone's ringing. Okay.
Sorry.
So Ninette wrote us an email. She said, my friend Christy is willing to go out on a date with Doe Toe. And we wrote back and said, no, but seriously. And you said yes, and you guys ended up going on a date. Where did you guys go?
We went to an Italian restaurant.
An Italian restaurant?
Yeah, up in Pasadena. But okay. It's an old town, okay. Pasadena, Kevin.
All right. Ninette, how many of you were there at the table?
Four of us.
Okay. Now, did you guys know what Doto looked like before you met him?
Yeah, we did.
You'd seen his picture on the website, maybe?
Yeah. And he had actually gone there a couple minutes earlier than us, so we saw him standing there, and sure enough, we knew it was him.
Now, when you say four of us, it was you and your friend, and who else? Did Bob bring someone?
No. We brought another guy.
A third person. Okay. Yeah. All right. Just security.
Okay. Now, Doto had not seen Christy. We had seen the picture that you sent, but Doe had not seen Christy. What was your first impression of her when you saw her, Doe?
She's not very bad, Kevin. She looks like my former girlfriend that when I went out on a date on a couple stewardess like who worked for Asian Airlines, Korean Airlines. I went out.
That's what every girl wants to hear. Is you look just like a girl I used to date.
Similar, Kevin Bean.
I got to say, I saw the picture. I wanted to date her. I thought she's very, very pretty.
thank you.
And Christy, what did you think of Doe when you saw him in person?
His eye wasn't that bad.
Well, he got a fix. Yeah.
He got a fix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Christy, what was the conversation like with Doe over dinner?
So you know when he first called you guys and you were asking about the name change?
Yes.
That's how it was the whole night.
Oh no.
Like nothing made sense?
Because we kept asking him, you know, why are you changing your name? And he said he is not sure, maybe because
he
thinks...
And then he asked you about Seattle.
Right. Yeah. It was like that?
Yes.
Doe, how do you think the date went?
Well, I think it wasn't very bad. My impression with her, I don't think it was a negative. It was okay. It was good, Kevin Bean.
So not very bad, and then good, and then
we
okay.
We got all the way to good.
it's cool.
Christy, what did you think of, did you have a good time?
It was interesting.
Yes, as all conversations with Doto are.
A little confusing.
Sure. But you learned to love him like we have.
What?
Come on.
Christy, how about if it had been a one-on-one date? Do you think you would have had a good time if it was just the two of you? Or do you think the other couple was there has kind of saved it?
Awkward silences.
Really? He's a tough guy to have a conversation with, isn't he, Christy?
Yes.
You guys know he's on the phone, right?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Doe knows that. Doe knows that there are some communication difficulties with him.
What do you mean there's communication difficulties, Kevin?
Well, when we ask you a question and then you don't answer it and you just ask something else completely unrelated.
I wasn't awake. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Doe, listen, don't ever change, Doe. We love you. No one's complaining here. We're just talking about the reality of the situation is it's different having a conversation with you than it is having a conversation with virtually anyone else on the planet.
In a good way.
Yeah, Kevin, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so how long was the meal, and then is that all you guys did?
It was about an hour and a half, maybe.
Okay.
So. How long did it feel like, Christy?
2 days.
Now,
only because there were four of us, and we tried to have a conversation with all of us.
Right.
And Doe would jump in with a random question or a fact that really didn't go with the flow.
Doe, does it seem like sometimes your thoughts don't mesh well with everybody else's thoughts? I mean, do you get that feeling sometimes or no?
Maybe on rare cases, Kevin Bean.
On rare occasions.
Yeah. Doe, I have your back on this one, my friend. I am right there with you. I know exactly how you feel.
What do you mean exactly how?
He does, because Bean is that guy. He's the guy who everybody else will be having a conversation, and then he'll say something, and it just puts the brakes on the whole thing, and everybody looks and goes, what?
Well, because we get ahead of ourselves, Doe, don't we? We start thinking about something else, and then we just kind of we fall behind in the conversation that we're supposed to be having. It happens to me all the time. I wouldn't let that worry you.
Yeah.
Your mind works too fast, Bob. That's the point.
That's what the problem is. All right. Here's the question that I'm afraid to ask, but we must. You guys went out on this date, and it was awesome of Ninette to call and offer you up, Christy. You were awesome to go. Is there any possibility, Christy, that there might be a second date for our man Doto?
Can I bring people?
Well, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Well, if she doesn't have a problem with it, then why not, Kevin Bean? I'm cool with that.
There you go. If she doesn't have a problem, then you're cool with it.
If she's fine with that, then there's no problem, Kevin.
I think you've done the multiple dating thing. I think you've accomplished that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Right?
So, Kevin, are you suggesting maybe it's time to move up to the one-on-one?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a little scared.
Kevin Bean?
Yes?
Is Psycho Mike there?
Yes. Why?
Yeah, because since he lives in Pasadena, Kevin Bean,
Yes. That's not a sentence.
How much would he charge me rent?
How much would he charge you? What, you want to move in with him?
I'm just kidding, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Okay. This is maybe what part of the problem is here. Christy, you're off the hook. You never have to see Doe again. Thanks, Doe.
Doe, you never change. Doe?
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Oh, Kevin. Oh.
You okay? Should we send someone over? Are you all right?
I'm okay.
Okay. Doe, thank you for going out on the date with Christy and with Nanette, and thank you for coming out and telling us about it, okay?
Yep. Thanks.
You really did her a favor. I mean, we were trying to get a date for her, and you did her a big favor. So thank you.
We appreciate it, Doe. Yeah. Take care, dude.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay, bye-bye.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
ROQ, what just happened there? Did that weird. Just fade in?
Yeah, you were gone. That's weird.
That was not me, everyone. That was actually not a mistake that I made.
You're listening
rare.
To the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Dr. Drew joins us coming up here on the program. I don't know anything about anything, and I think we all know that. We all agree with that. I'm clueless when it comes to many things, but how do you go into labor, ladies, and not know that you're pregnant? How does that happen? Aren't there some things that happen to your body? I don't know, like you start growing a baby in your belly?
Is that?
That would be a tip that you are with child?
It's got to be a lot of other changes as well.
I'm so puzzled by this. But I've never been pregnant. But I think it's different for every woman. And for some women, they know immediately that they're pregnant. Other women don't have symptoms.
There's the TLC show. I didn't know I was pregnant. And everybody is fascinated by that. And you watch it and you think the same thing every single time, which is, how is it possible you don't know?
I don't want to get into any body fluid details here. But
yes,
doesn't that happen?
Well,
some people it doesn't.
Some people are off spotty that way anyway.
Okay. Hey. Well, here's the story. This is why we bring it up. Girls are icky, right, Dave?
Yep.
Here's why we're bringing this up. A woman in Kentucky unexpectedly gave birth to a full-term baby boy in her bathroom on December 30th. She had no clue she was carrying the child. Leanne Mowry said she had taken several pregnancy tests, but they had all come back negative. What's that about?
I don't know, but don't you worry. If you're 9 months pregnant, don't you worry about other things that are going on, including the size of your stomach? Don't you go to a doctor?
Like, don't I have a tumor or what's happening, right? Here's my favorite part of the story. Mowry had often watched TLC's I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant and was critical of the idea that it was even possible for a woman to not know that she was pregnant. So she was one of the women who was making fun of other people for being in this situation. And then it happened to her. What are the chances? Apparently, it is very common. Last year, an Oregon mother reported to the hospital after she thought her appendix had burst. And then she found out that she was in labor. She thought the doctors were joking. That's
in
how
labor.
She found out. I mean, imagine what that would do to your head to find out I am about to give birth to a baby that I have in no way prepared for or even thought about.
Oh.
Now, we want to take some calls from you if this has happened in your family, preferably if it's happened to you. But if it's happened to your wife, girlfriend, or someone you know, someone in your family, call us. Tell us about this. What is this like at 1-800-520-1067.
Just before Dave tells a story about you being in the hospital and seeing one of these people, there was a study done, and it says 1 in 475 pregnant women are unaware that they're pregnant until halfway through.
That's a huge amount.
1 in 475.
That's a lot. So Dave is in here in studio because a few years ago when I had a tube in my eye, I don't remember why.
Long story, don't ask.
But it popped out, and the guys were freaked out by it because I had this piece of plastic coming out of my eye. And they said, you've got to go to the emergency room. You have to do something. Actually, all you really have to do is just leave the room so we don't have to look at it.
Yes.
So Dave drove me to a nearby emergency room. And what happened, Dave, while we were in there that day that relates to this?
Well, we were talking, and we hear this family arguing, and this girl's in pain. And she says, I guess they told her that she's having a baby. And she goes, Mom, I didn't know. I didn't know. And she was pregnant, and she was there about to give birth.
She was about to give birth and said she really
didn't know. She was about 17.
And the mom was screaming at her, like, how can you keep this from me?
Yeah, how can you keep this from us?
Okay, when you saw her, what did she look like? Did she look like a pregnant person?
Not at all. She looked like this little thin girl with a little...
Thin?
Because
I was going to ask about weight, too.
Yeah, it looked like she had, like, a little fupa, but, you know, other than that...
Wow.
It was just like a little belly, like, you know...
Now, that's interesting. Kevin brings up a good point, because my thought, and I don't watch this TLC show, is that a lot of women would notice if they started gaining that much weight, if they were pregnant. But if you're 300 pounds or something like that, maybe you just chalk it up to, I'm just getting a little bit fatter. Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. Wow. So we saw that check in person.
Yeah.
Did you pull the curtain and go, are you kidding me?
This was in the waiting room.
Oh, man.
All right. Christina, you hang on. We are going to get to you first. Please don't go away. We're looking for your calls, too. If this has happened to you or someone you know, what is this like? You didn't know you were pregnant. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin.
The Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 842.
Read the Black Keys cover story in the new Rolling Stone magazine, either at the newsstand or online, where they talk about how the world has ended now. Rock and roll is dead if we're going to accept Nickelback as being popular.
And Nickelback sells way more than the Black Keys
they
do.
They sure do. It's very, very funny. All right. You're listening to the Kevin Mean Show. Dr. Drew in minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Let's go to Christina first. What we're talking about is this latest story of a woman in Kentucky who went into labor, had no idea she was pregnant. How does that happen? Christina, this happened to your best friend?
Yes, it did. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, I think part of what we're fascinated with is month 7, 8, and 9. Seems like things would be getting extreme, and then leading up to having the baby, you know, the moment of having the baby. She didn't know a week before?
No. She was young. She was 18. So some of it might have been a little bit of denial. Like Lisa was talking about, she was never really regular with her cycle.
Right.
So when it kind of came here and there, she didn't think anything of it. She was really tiny, like a size 0, size 1, wow. Really good shape. They think her abdominal muscles were strong enough that it kind of held everything in.
Wow.
At the very end, she was getting this tiny little pooch, like way down low, hardly anything noticeable. And one morning, she thought she was just having a really bad backache and the lower back pain and kind of cramping in her back, so she thought maybe she was going to get her period. She got in the bathtub with hot water, and all of a sudden, she had her baby in the bathtub.
Oh, my God.
can you imagine, like, one second
the
you think...
The easiest pregnancy and birth ever.
But one second you think, backache. Man, my back hurts. Next second, you have a brand-new baby, and, like...
you're in total shock.
Did she call 911?
Yeah, she did.
And when did you talk to her? Did you talk to her that day?
Her brother called me that evening to tell me, hey, you know, Shelly is in the hospital. She just had a baby. And I was like, what?
Oh, my awesome. God.
And you had spent tons of time with her like you did and had no inclination whatsoever. There wasn't any tip for you at all that she was pregnant.
No.
That's amazing.
They estimated the baby was probably about 4 weeks early.
Right.
But he was still a decent size, kind of normal baby, no health problems, nothing, and she had no idea.
That's amazing. With no prenatal care, by the way. Did she did she end up keeping the baby?
Yeah, she did, and he's 21 years old now.
The baby came out with a six-pack, too.
Unbelievable.
Mama's in shape.
That is amazing. Christina, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
No problem.
1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Ethan. Ethan is an EMT, and I guess you would see this from time to time. You'd be the go-to. Ethan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I went to a call, and it was a middle-aged woman. She was complaining of, like, gas pains. So we arrived on scene. She's on the couch.
Wait, can I just back up? Can I just ask a question, Ethan? How many people call you because of gas pain?
Seriously, I am farting up a storm. You've got to come out here and help me.
I don't think I would call anyone. I think I would just sequester myself.
Yeah, we get a lot of, okay. We get a lot of crazy call. So this one's insane. This is like top five. Okay. So yeah, she's about 350 pounds. She's sitting on the couch complaining of gas pains. And we asked her, you know, what does she want to do? She's like, I want to go to the hospital, get checked out. I'm like, okay, let's go. Anyway, she gets up and a baby slides down her pants leg.
What?
No idea.
You mean there wasn't pregnant. Like any kind of labor that happened where she had to push? It just fell out of her?
No, it just fell out of her, man.
Oh,
and what did she say?
Oops.
Well, she had no idea she was pregnant at all. She's like, you know, I felt some sharp pains, and I was a little, you know, shortness of breath. I'm like, okay, well.
Did you say anything like, I don't know how to tell you this, but a baby just slid out?
She had no idea. Her husband was like this tiny old guy, and he had no idea.
Her husband had sex with a 350-pound woman. He's not allowed to complain about anything. Oh, my God. So now all of a sudden you're delivering a child. Now you're cutting an umbilical cord.
Exactly. I was shocked.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it. All right. I know we don't have time for this, but let's talk to Maisha online, too, because it also happened to her.
Maisha?
Yes. Hi.
Girlfriend, what's going on?
Okay, so I have, like, kidney disease for 5 years. I was in dialysis and everything, so my body was completely out of whack. And One night, my sister came home. She worked late, and I was just like in excruciating pain. And I told her, something's going on with my kidney. I'm bleeding. Everything's going on. So we call my nephrologist. We call Cedars. We call everybody. Everybody's frantically waiting. We get to the ER over at Cedars, and they're setting up dialysis and everything for me. All the surgeons are there. And as the nurse is helping me out of my father's car, and I turn my legs, I stand up, and the baby pops out.
There it is.
That's so bizarre.
At least it makes some sense in your case because you had all these health problems in the same area, which would explain the pain. At least that makes sense.
Exactly.
Tina's an OBGYN who called. I'm sorry, Tina, we don't have time for your call, but she says a lot of these girls are just in denial. They just don't, they can't admit that they are pregnant.
Maisha, did it ever occur to you during the course of that 9 months that you might be pregnant?
You know what? No. You know, my sister, no one believes me when I say that I didn't know. My sister thinks I'm a lunatic, but...
be a lunatic, by the way, on a side note, for other reasons.
I mean, you knew that you had had sex and that it was a possibility that you could get pregnant, but you never saw any changes in your body to suggest that a baby had taken hold.
No, because I was going to dialysis. My weight was, it didn't have any kind of signs of a belly. I was dropping weight. I didn't think of anything.
Well, the other thing, besides the shock of, hey, I have a baby, is you've made no planning mentally or physically to prepare for this baby. You have no place to put this baby, right? You don't have a room set up. You don't have a system in place to take care of a child. You got nothing.
Nothing. She was 1 pound, and
oh my God.
It was definitely an ordeal. You know, in retrospect, maybe I could have looked for some signs, but honestly, I just didn't know.
Did the doctor say,
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
How's she doing today? How's your little girl?
Oh, she's fine. She's 5, and
awesome.
She's great.
Great story, Maisha. You'll always have the winner story at a party. Thank you so much for calling the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Thank you.
Listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, teaming up with Beats Music to present a special evening with the band Coldplay. They're going to be in the theater at the Ace Hotel. You can win your tickets starting again at 9 o'clock this morning, all the way up until 6 p.m. By the way, that show is going to be aired for you tomorrow night live here on K-Rock at 8:30. What are you complaining about now, Ralph Garman?
I just hate everything that you tweet all the time.
That's right.
Tweet.
Why is this a factor for you? You blocked me. You don't follow me. You don't need to know about it. You don't need to hear about it. How does it affect you
because
in any way?
People keep forwarding them to me.
Why?
Because they're awful.
You won't believe how awful this one is. And then they send that to me. So I get it. It's like a nuclear blast, and then that's the fallout that just lands all over me.
But haven't you made it clear to people that you're not interested in what I tweet? So why can't they leave you out of it? Why can't it just be between me and the people who follow me because they like what I tweet?
Because sometimes there are such atrocities going on in the world that you cannot turn a blind eye to them. You must answer the call.
Why is it every time you talk about me in terms of I'm Hitler in Poland in 1939 and something you need to be
stopped? That's a question you need to ask yourself, not me. And this latest spate of tweets, this vacation you took, we should change the name of the segment to Thanks for That Creepy Selfie Beam. Every creepy selfie picture that you've tweeted on this vacation looks like you're tracking a serial killer.
Look,
were you by yourself? Were you alone on this vacation?
Yes, I was by myself on this vacation.
Aren't you still married to someone?
Do you think my wife wanted to go to Alabama on vacation?
Well, no one does. But wouldn't you want to spend some time with your wife while you're on vacation?
Look, you guys tell me what the policy is here. I thought if I go to locations that are interesting, that are tourist attractions in the great state of Alabama, that the people who follow me on Twitter might enjoy seeing a picture of me standing out in front of that place.
No, no, especially not the ones you did. Like, for example, remembering yesterday when I was 6 feet away from the great Hank Williams. And that's a picture of you lying on top of Hank Williams' grave.
Thanks for that tweet. Beam.
Now, a lot of people like me are huge, huge Hank Williams fans. And many have never been to his grave in Montgomery, Alabama. I thought folks might want to see that.
But it's just a slab of stone with his name carved in it with your creepy face on it.
Well, I took a picture of me at the grave. I thought that was something
maybe,
that people...
Maybe they're just in the grave. You take a picture of that. Why do you have to put your giant creepy face on top of it?
So the problem is I shouldn't be in any of these pictures. They should just be static shots, just like something that somebody could get off of any website anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Or this one.
and Helen Keller's childhood home in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And then the photo was just blackness.
That's that tweet.
Come on. That's fun. You can appreciate the humor in that one, Ralph.
She is a great American, and I you
blind
are
American.
A creepy dude. You don't get to mock Helen Keller.
She's blind. You don't get it. That picture is what her house would look like to her. It was a joke, son.
Well, at least you're staying as fresh as today's headlines with your hilarious Helen Keller chunk.
Come on. I can pull out my Helen Keller truck if I'm standing in Helen Keller's living room.
I guess only one of us is at the Boll Weevil statue in Enterprise, Alabama.
Oh, you didn't do that.
Statue tweet of somebody holding a giant bug in the air.
That's a pretty cool statue.
It's not a cool statue.
It's the only one in the world.
Of course,
celebrating
no
the Boll
one wants
Weevil.
It.
Not gonna lie, I expected a more impressive statue in Dothan, Alabama, the peanut capital of the world. And it's you standing next like a 2-foot-tall peanut.
You have to admit, that's not much of a statue for the peanut capital of the world.
You're right. That's why I would not tweet it.
That's that tweet.
Bean. Creepy selfie bean.
By the way, Ralph, at the Boll Weevil statue in Enterprise.
Stop it.
On that corner is a radio station called Weevil 101, and I knocked on the door when I was there. Once I took the picture of the statue, I went and knocked on the door at Weevil 101, and the owner of the place came out, 78-year-old man came out, who runs the radio station.
Oh, I hope he shot you.
Invited me in. I sat there with him for an hour and a half talking
Jesus.
About his 60 years in Alabama radio. It was the highlight of my whole trip.
Oh,
dear I want to go God. Work for Weevil 101 so bad.
We want that, too. More than you could possibly know. Thanks, Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. Now I hate whitey, too.
There's a picture of you in front of a sign that says, for coloreds.
That's that tweet.
I saw all sorts of great Civil Rights Museum stuff in Birmingham and in Selma, by the way. And it's really sobering to see that stuff in person.
Yeah, it's so sobering. You made a hilarious Mr. Magoo picture in front of the For Colored sign there.
I was
with
just
you
saying.
Making a wacky face with your giant, freakish Where's Waldo glasses.
Just saying. When you see the history of African Americans in this country, it's understandable why a lot of people still hate whitey.
Well,
I think I'm with
you. You're the
now.
Reason a lot of people still hate whitey. My superpower is the immediate need to poop 15 minutes after I've checked out of any hotel.
Ew.
That's that tweet.
Omar territory now.
Anyone who's ever traveled, I know several people accused Omar of hijacking my account. So anyone who's ever traveled knows that delicate balance between, you know, being on the road and the comforts of home. Come on.
That's that tweet.
You guys are with me, right?
No.
Is this thing on? You know how you're watching TV and you see a gay person on TV and it makes you want to go gay, like right then? Like you can't stop it because, you know, you're being indoctrinated into the homosexual lifestyle that's perpetrated by the liberals that make TV. You know how that happens?
Oh, yeah. And you got to turn the TV off right away.
Wait.
Right. Exactly.
Wait.
Turn off the gay.
Because you're watching a Survivor and they might have a gay contestant or Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. has a gay storyline and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I got to get me some same sex. That happens constantly,
I
right?
don't think that ever happened.
Well, really? Because I'm...
It's happened
reading,
once.
But I'm reading this article right now from an evangelist named Larry Tomczak, who says that shows like Ellen are featuring girls like Taylor Swift and other attractive women on the show in an effort to attract young girls to go gay.
So he's saying if Ellen has Taylor Swift on the show,
mm-hmm. they're creating lesbians.
That's
out of thin
the
air.
Only
yes.
reason they would do it.
Yes, that's right, because they're trying to get girls to fall in love with girls. That's what they're doing. Exactly, yes.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
And there's a long list of shows that Mr. Tomczak has problems with, but we wanted to find out more, so we thought, hey, why paraphrase? We can go right to the source. Evangelist Larry Tomczak joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hello, sir. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. You heard us talking about your editorial that has been getting quite a bit of press lately, and we thought maybe you could tell us more about it, sir.
Well, I'm just speaking the truth. I am mm-hmm. talking to Americans and letting them know that they are being inundated, assaulted by an avalanche of gay programming coming into their homes.
That's how you describe it, an avalanche of gay programming. So what happens when, say, a family sits down in front of the TV and there's a gay character on the show? Like, say they like Modern Family, for instance. What happens when they look at the, you know, the married gay couple on that show?
Well, of course, it depends on the person who's watching the programming, but some people are more susceptible to the indoctrination and propaganda of the gay lifestyle in our country. So if you're watching a show like, as you mentioned, Modern Family that has a gay couple, and you are susceptible, then you will be gay.
So Hollywood is working to lead a generation over the cliff to destruction, you say?
That's correct, yes. Because you have to remember that although they would like to portray gay lifestyle as normal, acceptable behavior, in Romans 1:24-27, it is labeled as immoral, indecent, shameful, unnatural, and a perversion.
Now, let me ask you this question. When you see a good-looking guy on TV,
mm-hmm.
does that make you be gay?
Is he heterosexual or is he homosexual?
Doesn't matter. Either.
It matters to me.
Okay. Homosexual, then.
Let's say he's a gay guy.
Does that make you want to have sex with a man?
Sure. Do you tingle in your parts?
Sure makes me think about it. Does it? Sure, yeah.
That was not the answer I was expecting.
I'm able to resist it. There's plenty of temptation in the world, but we have to be able to resist it. But the gay and lesbians would like you not to be able to resist it, so they keep inundating you with this propaganda. Like, okay, but Glee, you watch Glee, there's like five gay characters on Glee. It's hard to watch an episode of Glee and not be gay.
It's hard to put a musical on and not have gay characters. So now what are we supposed to do?
I just say don't watch Glee.
Well, I think we can agree on that, actually. So how does it work, though? What's the science of this? I'm trying to understand how you can turn somebody who's heterosexual into a homosexual just by showing them something on TV.
There you go. You're left-wing media again with your science.
Well, I mean, that's a valid question.
Your science.
How does it work?
It's not science at all. It's God's way, first of all, and second of all, it's choices. We make choices in this life, and if you're watching Ellen DeGeneres and you're a young woman and you see Taylor Swift on, you're like, maybe I would like to go for a little bagel bumping, and then that's how you start that slippery slope, if you will, if you'll pardon the pun.
How about somebody like Anderson Cooper, though, who's
an excellent
He's a great broadcaster, and he's got some real journalistic credibility. Why shouldn't he be on CNN?
Anderson Cooper, I'll have you know, has said he prefers to have sex with men.
Well, he's openly gay. Of course he has sex with men. That's what he does.
And then he dares to co-host a New Year's Eve show.
But me watching that does not affect my sexuality at all.
I'll have him know it's New Year's Eve, not New Year's Steve.
Oh, my God. One of the other shows that you mentioned here is, not even by name, but home and remodeling reality shows regularly feature lesbians and gays in partnerships looking for homes.
Yes, two gay guys walk into a bar.
Right.
And they say, I'm looking for a new home.
Uh-huh.
Why in a bar? Why do they ask that in a bar?
I don't know. It just sounded like a funny joke. Okay. But they do. They treat them like people.
Because they're people. Because they're regular, normal Americans. Because there's nothing wrong with them.
You just simply don't understand. When I often like to minister to the gays.
Uh-huh.
I will go sometimes 12, 13 gay pride events a year. And I will sit down next to a homosexual at one of their bars, and I will sip on a beer. And I will start up a conversation with them to try to minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I minister them right out of their clothes.
Wow. Well, you are certainly doing your part then, Larry.
You have no idea.
The most famous boxing promoter in the world, Don King, joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Jay Baruchel will be on the program today, and Adam Carolla. Plus, it's going down. I think we came up with the best solution yesterday that we need to settle this in a boxing ring. But comedian Brad Williams v. Ralph Garman. That's happening at 7 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You won't want to miss it.
Big beef going on.
That's right,
man. Don't want to miss that. My Strange Addiction is back on TLC.
TLC, of course, stands for the Freak Show Network. And this is the program where people eat dirt or have sex with cars, right?
Yeah, all of the above. It's on Wednesday nights at 10. And there's a one-hour special that profiled people that I'm going to play some clips for in a second. Later in the season, they have a 26-year-old woman who drinks air freshener, a 29-year-old woman who can't stop eating bricks,
okay,
and a 31-year-old man addicted to dating very elderly women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we had that story in England last year about that 31-year-old who was dating a 90-year-old or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, exactly. So that's coming up this season.
I don't even see how you eat a brick. I don't even see how you bite into a brick.
Well, you're going to have to watch. I don't either.
Okay.
I've never tried it, honestly. The first clip that I have from My Strange Addiction is men. The name of the show is Men Who Dress Up as Rubber Dolls. Men Who Dress as Rubber Dolls.
All right. So these are not furries.
Right.
They like to dress as costume characters, but
yes,
in rubber.
In rubber, head to toe.
Okay.
So they put an entire – it's like getting into a wetsuit.
All right. I'm intrigued.
The first thing they want you to know, Bean, is that they are no different than you and I.
It's weird, but like in a cool, weird way. It's like, whoa, what's that?
They're not freaky people. They're just like you and me.
They squeeze into masks and bodysuits to transform into life-size rubber dolls. This is an exclusive look behind the masks of men who dress as rubber dolls.
I am delighted that the robot is back as the announcer on Strange Addiction. So this is Men Who Dress as Rubber Dolls.
Are they just like us?
I don't think so.
I hope not. Here's one of the dudes, the first dude that they featured.
When I dress up and I put this mask on and the wig and, you know, look very nice, it's like a beautiful woman walking down the street.
Yeah, you know what? It's not a beautiful woman walking down the street. All right. Where is that dude from?
I'm going to just guess and say Southern California.
70-year-old Robert is a semi-retired property developer who lives a comfortable suburban life in Orange County, California.
Boom!
How do you not say Florida?
Oh, that's I didn't even think about Florida.
How?
I just thought how weird it would be if somebody like that was in our listening audience. Okay.
You want more information on his life? He's a 70-year-old.
Recently divorced after a 10-year marriage, Robert shares his home with his teenage daughter.
Can you imagine? Is it not hard enough to be a teenage girl?
And have a 70-year-old father, yep. And then have a 70-year-old father who dresses up in rubber suits? Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That seems bad, right?
This is so strange. I still haven't figured out what the I'm sure they'll get into it. I'm trying to figure out what the motivation is, because it doesn't sound like this is somebody who's turned on by dressing up in women's clothing and putting on makeup and wigs and things like that.
I watched the whole hour. There didn't seem to be any sexual nature to it.
I'm trying to figure out what the draw is to be in tight, uncomfortable rubber. Like, what's in it for this dude?
It's full on rubber. I just tweeted out a vine of one of these people talking. So the mouth doesn't move. There's a full face mask, but the mouth doesn't move. But they talk all the time. So you're looking at this creepy looking woman that is not attractive.
Called maskers.
Maskers is the name of them. Yes.
This looks like, you know what this looks like? This looks like something you would put on as a disguise to rob a bank.
Yes. Uh-huh. They mentioned that during the show. Yeah, okay. We know that seems to be the part, but that has nothing to do with what we're doing. And so here's 70-year-old Robert putting it on.
This is my new femskin. It's the, they call it the HD model. You have to roll it down to about the waist before you can pull it on. You have to put in a lot of powder so you don't stick to it.
Yeah.
Well, chafing, I'm sure, is a real concern for maskers.
Why does he do it? Why does 70-year-old Robert dress up like a rubber doll?
For a dozen years, Robert has spent his spare time dressing up as Sherry.
I just can't believe that that's a 70-year-old man in the mirror.
All right, now he's looking at the mirror and he's wearing the full woman doll mask.
Okay.
And he is fascinated by the fact that he doesn't look like a 70-year-old man.
Sure.
And that's why I do this. If I saw a 70-year-old man in the mirror, I'd quit this tomorrow. That's me in there. That's one of the things I have to keep telling myself. That's not just a 70-year-old man. That's me inside that female.
So he
probably happened for the last time a long time ago.
He just loves being able to be to look like a different person. He's an old man who loves to walk around and feel like and look like a young woman.
I guess, but if you, let's say it's Halloween or whatever, and you're wearing a mask, when you look at a mirror, don't you go, oh, that's me with a mask?
Yes, of course.
You don't think you're looking at a beautiful woman or whatever.
I think he is just, he's invested in this character. I mean, you heard he gave the character a name. I think he feels like he becomes a different person.
I'm going to play this next clip. It's very short, and then I'm going to ask you what's happening. What would you guess is happening there?
Is he either trying to put the outfit, the rubber suit on, or try to take it off?
Just finish putting the suit on.
Wow.
And it probably took 10 minutes. It's like putting on a wetsuit. For those of you that surf and you've been in a wetsuit, you have to literally pull it all the way up.
Okay.
But it also has a face. It also has a mask that you put on, too, a full head covering.
It has to be so sweaty.
I would think
so, too.
Doesn't
it?
Yeah, I would think so, too. That's why he's putting so much powder in it. I don't know. This is insanity.
After years in solitude, Robert has decided to appear in public as Sherry at a gathering of fellow maskers in Minneapolis.
So he's been doing it by himself, just walking around the house dressed like this for a long time before he took it public?
He says his teenage daughter didn't even know that his room is upstairs and nobody else goes upstairs. So he keeps all this stuff upstairs. When his daughter's out of the house, he'll dress up. And most of the time what these people do is just take photos. They don't want to go out because they get ridiculed. So this guy goes into his backyard and just takes photos. And then he looks at the photos and goes, man, that's crazy. That's not a 70-year-old man.
Can you imagine how weird that is, that he's sitting on his couch in his house by himself, dressed in a rubber suit, watching college basketball?
Imagine the damage that would happen to you as a teenage girl to come home and see that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And they have a gathering.
Minneapolis is home to the Rubber Doll World Rendezvous, an annual gathering of maskers from across the country.
Gathering of maskers from across the country. I don't know if they were only allowed to show the 8 people that were there.
Okay.
Or 9.
You're suggesting it's not well attended.
Not well attended. No.
Okay.
So then they go to this family that makes the suits.
Oh.
They make these rubber doll suits for people who want to wear them. And the woman is on Skype with a customer. And the customer is ordering the skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And does he want boobs?
So it's like buying a real doll where you customize your character.
Yes. Okay. And maybe a little too much customization. Listen.
I'd probably say the medium skin tone as well.
A set of D implants?
Yes, that would be great.
Do you like the installed rectum in it or no?
Does he want the installed rectum or no?
How much extra is that, I wonder?
What do you guess his answer is?
Oh, he's going to go for it. Why not?
I'd say yes, probably, on that one.
So wait! So if he's getting the installed rectum, this is not a guy who's sitting around by himself at home in his rubber suit.
That is the only mention. I watched the whole hour. That's the only mention of anything that might be sexual.
Yeah, this guy's he's playing the girl with someone, right?
Here's my thing. Yeah. If you're getting asked if you want the installed rectum, you're doing something wrong. I will never be in that position. I'll tell you that right now.
If that question is ever asked of you under any circumstances, may be time to reevaluate your choices.
And then this dude goes on to explain the turn on for him.
I didn't think I had the means, charm, charisma, body, whatever it looks, to have a sexy girlfriend. And I loved women. I used to collect pictures of swimsuit models. So I decided to emulate a sexy female, to basically make what I couldn't have.
Yeah.
So he's become the woman that he desires.
Yeah.
Basically.
And by the way, all of them find these rubber dolls beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and they're all creepy.
Yeah, they are. They're creepy.
You look at it, you just go, wow, that's weird.
And by the way, you don't collect pictures of swimsuit models. You watch porn. That's what you're doing, sir.
Yeah, he's a little older. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what his deal was. But and here's a further explanation.
I just blend in. And when I walk down the street, people don't pay any attention to me.
That's when he's not wearing the rubber dolls.
But when I dress up and I put this mask on and the wig and, you know, look very nice, it's like a beautiful woman walking down the street. You become one of the, I guess what you would call one of the beautiful people.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. No, on that. You're not a beautiful people.
I think, yes, you are getting attention because people are horrified to see a rubber person. You're not blending in as a beautiful woman, right?
Oh, he's one of the beautiful people.
Okay.
And finally, there is some controversy in the group because some of them want to go out and publicize this, and the others are afraid that they're going to get mocked. So this is two guys afraid they're going to get mocked and a third trying to get him to go outside.
I wouldn't walk, 20 steps down the road dressed as a doll.
I'm not going anywhere near a bar.
Oh, come on.
That's what the conversation is like. They got Kenny from South Park. Oh, come on. Let's go outside. Well, doesn't everyone sound like that when they're under the desk? Yes, they all do. All of them talk like that. That's what you're watching for a full hour.
I never even heard of Maskers until now, and I love it.
My Strange Addiction on TLC tonight and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. I feel like Bean would have one of those suits in his house. Do you?
Huh? Yeah, and he'd sing that while he was dressed up as a woman looking in the mirror. And you're...
I can't believe I look like a beautiful woman.
Not the installed rectum.
Not hurting anyone. Just having fun.
Just prancing in front of the mirror in the woman's suit.
For some reason, Chip is there.
Friday nights are long in the winter, guys. You gotta occupy yourself. Kevin, why aren't you at home playing Call of Duty right now? What's up with that?
That's my question.
I thought you were supposed to take the day off after Call of Duty comes out.
I'm not feeling well.
I have to go home now. Sorry, guys. Anyway, we're going to talk all about the brand new Call of Duty coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we had a showbiz story, I want to say yesterday, when our friend Brad Williams was filling in on the showbiz beat, about an article that came out about celebrities that you went to high school with. People now reminiscing about people that they knew back in high school that went on to become famous people. And it's kind of interesting. Like Brad was telling us yesterday, no surprise, the people that they talked to that went to high school with Katherine Heigl said, oh, she was a bitch in high school.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't surprise anybody because apparently she stayed consistent throughout the rest of her life. But it's super interesting to see people that are now superstars. What were they like before they were regular people? And we want to read a couple of these, and then we want to take your calls. We don't do this very often, but we're looking for people who went, is it just high school or just you knew them before they were famous?
I think you knew them before they were famous, yeah.
Okay. Somebody who's now famous, but you knew them well enough to have an opinion on them back before they were famous. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 because it's always interesting to find out how people might change after they grow up and find success. For instance, Zach Galifianakis, who we all love, right? Went through school a couple
of
years.
Can I just object? Who we all
love. We don't all love Zach Galifianakis.
No.
Who doesn't
love Galifianakis. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the list that said Efron.
Oh.
Zach Efron. We all love Zach Galifianakis. My bad. Keep going. Well, you do that with Zach Efron a lot.
Zach Galifianakis, who we all love.
Yes, Bean.
Went through school a couple of years behind Zach Galifianakis, a nice, normal, and very funny kid. He was pretty popular, was nice to everybody, geeks and weirdos included. Great to see a nice, normal, and grounded guy make it big. For instance, that's what one person says. Listen to this, John Hamm. John Hamm went to my high school a little before I did. He grew up extremely poor and went on scholarship. By all accounts, he was very quiet, respectful, and intelligent. One of those people who uses his blue-collar background to give them a work ethic. That's what they say about John Hamm. That's nice to hear, right?
Yeah, very nice.
Kristen Stewart. My friend was on the swim team with Kristen Stewart in seventh grade, the year she was pulled out of school. She was just as socially awkward and introverted a person as she appears to be in the media.
Really?
What a boring human being that is.
No kidding. How did she ever get into the movies?
I don't know.
That's a great question. How about somebody who went to high school with Rivers Cuomo from Weezer? I went to school with Rivers. He was an outsider, but closer to graduation, he started to gain acceptance. His music projects were growing in popularity, and while he was never officially given this title in the yearbook, we thought of him as the most likely to become a rock star. Little did we know. Mm. He actually ended up becoming one. Kevin, this is gonna hurt you. Kate Upton.
Yes.
And by the way, when you see Kate Upton year after year as the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and you went to high school with her, don't you think, I should have really tried a lot harder in high school? I should have really paid attention to what was in front of me in high school so that I didn't let her get away when we all graduated.
I don't know that many people are that confident of their high school years.
Yeah.
I went to high school with Kate Upton, says this person. She had barely any personality. Which I really do hate to say because it's sad to see someone fit the pretty but completely vapid stereotype to such a T. My yearbooks are on the
such big liar.
My yearbooks are on the shelf in another room. I can scan a page if anyone doesn't believe me and wants proof. By the way, if that was the case in high school, I'm surprised by that because she has grown up to be somebody who I think has a great personality. If you've seen her interviewed, she seems, you know, vivacious and bubbly and fun.
I don't
like them saying bad things about Kate Upton.
I agree.
You liar!
Well, we are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you knew somebody before they became famous. Beer Mug says that he went to high school with a couple of porn stars.
Really?
talk about should have tried harder. So we'll take your calls in just a second on the World Famous.
I knew them before they were famous. Looking at an interesting article on thoughtcatalog.com of people who were interviewed about celebrities that they went to high school with back before they were famous. We're going right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to go to Matt here first, but let me read two more for you real quick. I went to school with Coolio. He wasn't anything special. The only thing I really remember about him is that he would smoke weed by himself all the time in one of the hallways near the gym class.
Really? What a surprise.
And he went by the name Leon back then. That's from Coolio. And one more, Lisa May, your heart is going to melt when I tell you this.
Okay.
I went to elementary school with Ryan Gosling. He taught me how to tie my shoes and taught my friend how to read.
Elementary school.
Could he be any more perfect as Ryan Gosling?
Love him so much.
What the hell? All right, let's go to the Kevin and Bean listeners to find out who they knew before they were famous and what they were like. Matt is up next. He's on line four.
I have to wait for them to put him on hold. I don't know why. There we go. All right. Matt, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin? How you doing, Bean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hello.
You went to high
you
school
tell us.
With...
I went to high school with Katy Perry.
Katy
Come
Perry.
On. No.
Yeah, Dos Pueblos High School in Galena, California, which is actually part of Santa Barbara, but nobody knows where it is. So everybody says Santa Barbara.
Okay.
All right. Now, we have heard a lot. We've heard a lot about Katy Perry, about how she was raised in that strict Christian household, and then she just kind of broke away from that and became this phenomenal pop star. What was she like in high school?
Well, she was a freshman. I was a senior. She was a sweetheart, man. She's a little on the gullible side, but, I mean, she was extremely nice to everyone. Her dad was very strict. I did meet him on one occasion. We went to homecoming together.
You took her to homecoming?
We did, yes, sir.
Wait, you were a freshman and she was a senior and she went with you?
No,
the other way around.
I was a senior.
Oh, the other way around. Good call. Yeah, good move.
99-2000 school year. Her dad scared the crap out of me. He was real strict. So, I went home by 11 o'clock, he said, and I was like, okay, sir, whatever you said.
Were you surprised to see how famous she became?
Not at all. I mean, she was really talented back then, and she was working with, she had an agent back then. I didn't know too much about that side of it, but I knew that she was working on things. She had a great voice back then. She was real dedicated in music. We were in choir together as well. And I kind of had a feeling that she would make it. So.
Isn't that something?
I just want to talk to Matt all day.
I hate that Katy Perry was a gullible freshman, by the way. That's a terrible image.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
gullible.
What to do with
she
that. All right.
Short hair, too.
All right. Good, good tip. Thank you.
You sound like a good guy, Matt. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Christine. She's up next. She's online, too, talking about you knew them before they were famous. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? What's going on?
Oh, God, I'm so excited to speak to you guys.
Thank you,
I went
Christine.
To school with Blake Lively. I
was oh, nice.
Yeah. No, trust me. Not that good. I was a freshman, and she was a freshman as well.
Right.
We were in Spanish class. Talk about messing up the Spanish language. Her and her friends would be like, hola, como esta?
was she being funny, or was she just...
No. She was a complete bitch. So it was really weird watching her on Gossip Girl. I'm like, if only I messed up the Spanish language.
Wow. How dare you? How dare you say a mean thing about Blake Lively? I won't hear of it. Even though you knew her and I didn't, I reject you totally.
It's all right, Christine, but thank you for calling. But we only want stories that we agree with, if that's cool.
All right, let's go to Nate. Here's an interesting one. Talk about a guy I know nothing about from his high school years. Nate's on line six.
Hi, Nate.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Who'd you go to school with?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger
wow.
Woods?
Wow.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
in high school, he was already a great golfer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He was. My cousin was actually on... his golf team, you know, we all went to high school together. My cousin was actually on his golf team and played golf with him. So he was killing it all over the high school ranks in golf. But still, nobody knew who he was, you know. I mean,
right, sure. When he's in high school.
Wasn't out there. Yeah. So he just was just completely just mellow, quiet, shy as could be. Just never had a girlfriend. Never heard his name anywhere.
Well, it's good there was one part of his life that did not have drama with women.
Look,
exactly. He made up for that never having a girlfriend in high school in later years. But, I mean, you're absolutely right, though, Nate. I mean, there's no better way to be completely invisible in high school than to be on the golf team and really into golf. I mean, if that's where you're spending all your off hours, none of the other kids are ever going to see you, right?
Exactly. And then right from the golf, right after school, he goes straight. His dad would make him go straight to the golf course and, sure. and practice.
Sure. Amazing. All
day.
Right. Great call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Karen. She's got an interesting celebrity who's just been in the news this week. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank
Hi.
You. Who'd you go to school
with? So, I went to high school with Josh Brolin.
No kidding.
Nice.
Wow. How about that? So did you know him pretty well?
Yeah, it's funny. So I was a year older, and my friend and I had crushes on his two friends. So I had the car, so we used to pretend that we lived over where they lived and give them rides home all the time.
Hey, you guys want to ride home? And then you'd have to drive all the way across town to your place?
Yeah, exactly. But he was very cool. His dad was pretty, you know, a big name, and right. he was super chill about it. And then a couple years later, Goonies comes out, and we're all like, oh, my God.
That's him.
So have you been following the news? Have you been seeing all the trouble he's been getting into with cab drivers and everything else? It sounds like he could still use that ride.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Karen, for the call. Let's go to Jared. Hi, Jared.
Good morning, party people. Lisa May.
Good morning.
You went to high school with?
Zach Levi.
Zach Levi.
Oh, please tell me he was always the coolest guy in the world like he is now.
Zach is exactly who you think he is. You couldn't find a more genuine, generous, kind, and an amazing guy. And he's always worked his ass off, even back when he was doing local theater and trying to get his career together.
And you never saw him steal lunch money or drown a puppy, nothing?
You know, the only bad thing I ever heard him say was kill beer mug, and we all understand that.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. We're all on board with that.
Yeah, Zach does seem like one of those guys who's always been the coolest guy. Thank you, Jared. We appreciate that.
And he said that in high school. He didn't even know what it meant.
Amazing.
Right. Let's go to Robbie, by the way. This sounds like it's going to have a lot of drama on line 7.
Hey, Robbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You went to high school with who?
I went to high school, Fairfax High School, with Slash and Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
Now, did you run with that crowd? Were you into the music or what?
I did. I was the original drummer, actually, for L.A. Guns, and then L.A. Guns turned into Guns N' Roses. So I was the original drummer for both bands.
What?
Great delivery. Great delivery.
I love that.
So I don't remember exactly how it went down, but did L.A. Guns, did it change into Guns N' Roses when Axl joined the band?
Yeah, see, Axl and Izzy were in a band called Hollywood Rose.
Right.
And then me and Tracy were in L.A. Guns, and we basically put the two bands together.
And they kicked you out and yeah. went on to success.
What happened to you?
Tracy and I left the band.
Great move.
I know, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, we left the band, and then Slash and Steven replaced us.
So what was that like for you as the 90s went on and Guns N' Roses became the biggest band in the world and you knew all of those guys? Were you happy for them, or was it kind of bitter times?
No. You know what? I was totally happy for those guys. I made my own decision.
And it was wrong.
Yeah, they went on and did their thing, and I was definitely part of it, and you know, happy about that and stuff. And
well, good
know,
for
I,
you.
Sometimes I count my lucky stars there, because you know, I don't know, some crazy things went on.
Yep,
and
not everyone
you know,
turned out okay.
Might not be talking to you right now if. Yeah. You know,
absolutely. Well, that's a great attitude, Robbie, and a great story, man. Thanks for calling, and thanks for everybody for calling. And by the way, the guy who went to homecoming with Katy Perry, photos, or it didn't happen, all right?
That's right. We need